Welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Today's episode is, weirdly enough, brought to you by another Facebook post that popped up yesterday that I saw. It was a newish friend of me, and she posted about Bluebird and Campfire Camp that she went to when she was little and posted pictures of it. And it sparked such a good memory for me that I decided to look up the Bluebird and Campfire Camp that I went to as a kid, because I thought, oh, how sweet, you know, because I'm a firm believer things pop up to sort of lead you a direction, to take you to a memory that takes you, you know, to something healing. You know, that's just sort of how it all works. That's how synchronicities and coincidences, the universe is trying to get your attention for some reason. So I followed my nudge. I looked up El Tesoro, which is when I was a kid, felt like it was so far away from home, right? It felt like that bus that we got on as little kids, just, it was hours and hours and hours away. Well, it turns out maybe it was an hour and a half. It was Granbury, and I lived in Bedford, so, you know, it was maybe an hour and a half bus ride away. But, you know, when you're little, that just feels like such a journey to go on. And when you're little and you're incredibly enmeshed with your mom, who is ill, and you're energy sensitive and medically intuitive but don't understand it, and you're afraid to leave her because you don't know what's going to happen to her, because I could always feel, you know, my mom's energy with her bipolar and where she was in her swings, and, you know, was always so worried about her, you know, depressive end of her swings, because she'd get suicidal and things would get really heavy really fast. So I just always wanted to be right by her side, just wanted to be plugged into her, providing her better energy, you know, and giving her my joy, feeding her what I was able to cultivate, I mean, even as a little bitty kid. So that bus ride to camp was always, you know, so hard, getting on the bus, detaching from her, pulling away, trying to be independent, trying to go do my own thing. You know, and I'm talking, I was so little when I first started going to camp. I was, I don't know, was I 9 or 10? 11. Again, I don't have a great concept of time, and I don't know if that's a function of, like, my trauma brain, probably. Some of it has to do with the lime and the mold, but a lot of it is, you know, trauma and what you can and can't remember, what you do and don't let yourself remember. So let's say I was 10... 11, 12 during my camp years. That was right when, you know, my mom had gotten diagnosed and had run away from home, and, you know, all the stuff that had happened with her bipolar journey. I mean, it was just a bad time, and a bad time to be away from her. But, you know, I was starting to grow up, and I needed to go do my own thing and needed to go have some adventures. But I was still small enough that I took my little baby Beans doll with me, because she's got a little tag, and yes, I do have her sitting next to me on my bed in the Airstream, and she's got a little tag on her butt that was our first, it's interesting, it was our first street address, so maybe I was a little younger than I thought the first time I went. Anyway, I'll never figure all that out at this point, but here I am. I'm going to camp when I'm on the bus, and I'm, you know, I have separation anxiety, and I'm excited because there's another Facebook meme going around that, you know, I have a, what is it, a light spirit with a heavy soul, and sometimes it's complicated. And man, that's me to a T. You know, so I loved people. I loved being around folks. I loved new adventure. I loved camping and being in cabins and, you know, canoeing and horseback riding and just all the stuff to do with camp. But I had the heaviness of being away from my mom and being so terrified that something would happen while I was gone you know, because I'm the cleanup crew in my family. I'm the one that comes back and fixes everything. Always have been. So, you know, what was I going to come home to? You know, what was the craziness with my grandparents? You know, what had gone down while I was off having, you know, makes me want to cry. A normal life, you know, a normal summer. And I would only go for a couple of weeks, but always the first couple of days at camp would be the hardest for me, and I would have separation anxiety so badly that I would get dehydrated. I would be super upset. I would always end up in the camp office, and they'd give me salt pills, I guess, for the dehydration and just to try to settle me down. And which is interesting because, oh my gosh, look at the connection to this. I would be freaked out, homesick, inside out, trying to settle my body down, and they would give me salt pills. What do I tell you guys and myself and all my clients to do? What do they tell empaths and sensitives to do to help detox and ground and clear ourselves when the energy's crazy? Take Epsom salt baths. Salt. So they would give me salt tablets at camp. That's fascinating. I never put that together till just now. So anyway, the El Tesoro, you know, camp director would you know, take care of me, nurture me, settle me down, get my energy right, give me the salt tablets, get me back in balance, you know, and send me off. And then I'd have a great time. Once I adjusted, I'd have just a great couple of weeks. But looking back at those pictures online yesterday was such a hoot, because, you know, everything's changed. This was, gosh, mid-70s when I was there. So, yeah, hello, it's been a minute. So the camp looks completely different, except I had this one memory that I could hang on to of this bridge, this hanging bridge thing that was there, that one night during camp session every year, they would let us go camp out and sleep on this bridge. Well, I think last episode I told you about my fear of water. I've also got some past life fear of heights. Those are my two, and I guess I'm claustrophobic too. So I'm apparently, I got some past life stuff to do, y'all. I need to clear some of these things. But, you know, I have a fear of heights and a fear of falling. And so this one night every year at camp where they'd say, we're going to go sleep on this hanging bridge over, you know, this big cavernous part of the river. You know, and in my mind, it was huge and high and something like the Royal Gorge, which we saw as kids. You know, that's how big it had gotten in my mind. But when I saw the pictures yesterday, the bridge is still there, and it's not that big and scary. You know, like anything from childhood, it gets so blown up, right? Like any of those stories, which is a great, it's just a great thing to think about. You know, you really blow some of that stuff from childhood up, and your adult brain hangs on to it and magnifies it. So, you know, in my mind, that bridge was huge and terrifying. Well, in the picture, it's like, yeah, it wasn't that bad, but still, on those nights when we would go camp on the bridge, everybody else was like, I'm gonna sleep in the middle because I want to swing and all that. You know, and I'm 11, 10 or 11, and granted, the smallest, shortest person in camp always. Always the smallest everywhere I was. But I remember always making a big deal. They wanted us to be on the bridge, but I would sleep with my head and my upper torso on the concrete portion on the end and just let my feet be on the bridge. I always had to make sure that was where I was. Otherwise, there was no way I was going to sleep. So everybody else was out in the middle of it, but you know, was it a premonition? Was it a past life fear? Was it an irrational fear? I don't know. But, you know, in my mind, there were visions of that thing breaking and all those little girls falling into the river and drowning. So, had this huge bridge in my mind, and I saw it again yesterday and just started laughing. I was like, oh, sweetie, just like so many other of the monsters from back then, they just, you know, they don't have to have that power over you anymore because they weren't that big. It was the fear that was big, and I've been able to put so much of that behind me. But there were such fun memories of that campfire camp, and, you know, singing around a campfire is still such a huge thing for me, and campfire girls especially, there was a little bit of a Native American feel to some of the ceremonial stuff they did that really appeals to ancient me, and it was nice to see all that. There's a thing called a Wohelo ceremony that they would do, and I do remember we would do horseback camping too, and boy, that was really cool. You know, pack up your stuff, put it on a horse, go out, unpack it all, and camp off your horses. That was super fun. So I loved being at camp, but, you know, there was always that underbelly of fear for me, worried about, you know, all the traumatic and dramatic stuff that was going on in my immediate family and with my grandparents, and, you know, what was I going to come home to? So, interesting how all the memories are tied up together, but I thought I would share that with you guys. Just those demons from your immediate past and from your past lives, you know, they get bigger until they get looked at, which is why it's so important to do, you know, transformational things to help yourself heal from all that. You know, work with a past life regressionist. Work with an energy healer like me. Work with an intuitive life coach like me. You know, figure out, unearth these things. Learn to empower yourself and move through them, because the shadows of some of these things, you know, are still affecting me. Even with all the amazing work I've been able to do on myself, I've still got some shadow things that are lurking, and since it's like layers of an onion, you know, you peel a layer away, you look at it, you heal it, you toss it out, you go on for a while, then it's time to peel another layer. Like, I don't know that you're ever fully peeled. I think there's always more to explore, but that's why we come here. That's why we come to Earth School, to learn those things and peel back those layers and get to the Tootsie Roll center of, you know, what really is, what the essence of our soul is, which is love and light, and none of that heaviness, none of that density, none of that funk and gunk that we carry with us through so many past lifetimes, through so many parallel timelines, you know, all that stuff. We truly are joy and love, and that's what we're trying to come home to remember that we are all divine sparks of God, and we're all connected, and we're all love. So that's my story for today. Just wanted to share that with you guys. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.
If you'd like to get in touch with me, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can find me on Instagram at @airstream_oracle, or you can email me at hello@shannonpinkston.com. I do one-on-one intuitive energy work, which basically means I will read into you energetically and intuitively, and I can really quickly find what has shut you down, the places where you're stuck, any place that you're in overwhelm, or connect the dots for you on a whole lot of things that bring you joy that you might have forgotten, that can lead you to your greater purpose and what really lights you up in the world. I'm able to do that really quickly for my clients. And I also provide like sacred energy wellness support and tips, and use my medical intuition to help, you know, figure out some of the places of dis-ease and contraction in your body. A lot of my clients have called me the joy whisperer, because they come into my sessions shut down and closed down and kind of contracted, and they end up leaving open and bright and sparkly and with a clearer, you know, path to their purpose and what makes their soul sing. So if any of that resonates with you, reach out. You can also find me on Facebook if you'd like to be part of my Facebook group. It's Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. You can search for it, and we play intuitive games in there. We do a lot of energy support, and you know, I come on, read oracle cards for my group, and just do whatever I can to connect us, you know, in deep conversations and things that matter. So if that resonates with you at all, any of the above, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you so much for listening.